I hope you all had a good Christmas, a joyful Christmas. I hope that you remembered what Jesus has done throughout the year in your life. If you were able to come to candlelight service, I talked with Jimmy, and we thought that was probably the best candlelight service that we've ever had. It was just a Holy Spirit-filled night to get to just to get to hear from everybody what Jesus Christ has done in their life. And in that song there, it says, "Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus Christ wonderful? Because what a Savior to forgive us of all of our sins." This isn't really related to the message, but it is related to our Savior. He has died on the cross so that we have eternal life in heaven. I will remind you that every time I come up here, because it is the greatest thing that has ever happened. We have forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. See, Jimmy mentioned something on Wednesday night that kind of stuck with me. It was kind of eye-opening to me that around 2,200 Nigerian Christians have been killed for their faith. What a number. 2,200 have been martyred, killed for the name of Jesus Christ. That's a hard thing to hear. We don't experience that a whole lot in America, but can I tell you, many places in the world today are persecuted beyond measure, beyond what we can even fathom, tortured for the name of Jesus Christ. That's hard to hear. That is hard to hear, but I'm telling you, it is reality. And I can tell you, it will get worse and worse until Jesus Christ comes. That is what has been promised to us. That's a hard promise to take in. Where there's more and more suffering to come. Listen to me, but there's joy in this. In China, I was reading, there's around 90 million, that's an estimate, around 90 million Christians in a country that it's illegal to be a Christian. 90 million, that means they understand, oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? See, there is so much suffering in the world because of the name of Jesus Christ. And listen to me when I tell you, church, it is worth it. It is worth it to suffer for Christ's name. And I want to ask you this question. A question that I hope you take to heart is, what do you do when suffering comes your way? Are you a person that presses on and moves on, goes towards the Father? Are you a person like many, many other believers who give up? They throw in the towel, they say, I'm just going to run because the suffering is too hard to bear. And it is too hard to bear without our Lord Jesus Christ. This suffering is suffering. It is painful. It hurts. But it is the greatest thing. Do you just run away? Do you just let it go pass by and say, I don't want any of that. I don't want to have any suffering. I don't want to do it. See, Jesus himself promises us this suffering. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Do you bear the name of Jesus Christ? Do you bear it on your heart? Do you let the world know? Because when you let the world know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, persecution comes. It comes in many, many ways. It looks different in many, many ways. It can be something small. It can be something big. See, here we're going to learn that Peter knows about suffering. If there's one person who knows about suffering, Peter knows about suffering. I want to give you a little bit of background before we get started in the reading. He's preaching to this church in Asia Minor. He wrote this letter. He's got this letter. He's going out to these churches. And this church is being heavily persecuted. They're being tortured. They're being killed for the name of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, Peter understands this. Peter understands what it's like to suffer for Jesus Christ. He's been beaten. He's been flogged for the name of Jesus Christ. But yet his confidence is still in Jesus Christ, even to the point of death. And we know that Peter here will eventually die for the name of Jesus Christ. He'll be hung upside down on a cross because he didn't think he was worthy enough to be hung upright as Jesus was. He was hung upside down because of the name of Jesus Christ. He was willing to take it all the way to his death. I pray that we're able to do the same thing. It's a hard, hard thing. It's a hard, hard thing to wrap your mind around. But Peter is going to kind of explain what this suffering is. Starting in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. See, this doesn't make any sense to us. Rejoice, be overjoyed in this fiery ordeal. What's he talking about? He's talking about suffering. He's talking about all the suffering that this church is going through right here, being tortured and killed. He says, do not be surprised at it. This is normal. It is normal for you to suffer for Jesus Christ. It is normal for you to go through hard times, pains, hardships, trials, tribulations, all those things for the name of Jesus Christ. It isn't strange, church. It's not strange for someone to mock you, to ridicule you for the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says that is what's going to happen. We are to rejoice in our sufferings. How else could we possibly get through the sufferings in life if we can't rejoice in our Savior? If we can't praise the Father in heaven, how are we able to make it? How can we persevere? How can we consider it pure joy when trials and tribulations come on us? It only comes through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, I just want to read it here for you. It's what Jesus himself has said. It says, blessed are you when people insult you. What? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This isn't new. This suffering that the church goes through is not new. This has been going on for many, many years, because people don't want to hear the name of Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear it. Why? Because the name of Jesus Christ is the most powerful name on earth. It is the greatest name, and for you to bear it, that is joyful. That is the greatest thing that you could do, to say, I am a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. And to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is no greater thing to have your name written in. There is no greater thing to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is normal, church. It's okay. This is what Peter's telling the church here. It is okay that you're going through it. It's okay, because we are blessed through it. Verse 14, if you are insulted because of the name of Jesus Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Did we hear that, church? The Spirit of God rest on you. See, suffering, it doesn't make any sense, but suffering draws us closer to God. It draws us closer and closer and closer and closer. Every time you go through suffering, every time you go through pain, let me tell you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to give you strength, it draws you closer to the Father, because He, Jesus Christ, endured the same suffering. The same suffering on the cross, and it draws us closer, and we are blessed. See, we don't think of sufferings as being blessed, but it is a great blessing. It is a great blessing to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And if you happen to die for it, it is good, because the name of Jesus Christ is glorified. That's a hard thing to take in. But the name of Jesus Christ is glorified when we suffer. When we go through pains and trials, the name of Jesus is lifted high up. High up. Especially when you draw strength and your confidence comes from none other than the Holy Spirit himself. There's no greater thing to have strength come from the Holy Spirit. See, this isn't something that we did to ourselves. It's something that Jesus Christ's name does. Because the world doesn't want to hear it. Verse 15. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Praise God that you bear that name. Because it isn't because you're a sinner. See, that's a whole different kind of suffering. That's not a suffering that we're talking about today. It is a suffering because of only one thing. One thing only. You bear the name of Jesus Christ. Church, do you bear the name of Jesus Christ? Do you bear the name of Jesus Christ? There is no greater name to bear. There is no greater name to have in your life than the name of Jesus Christ. And however, if you suffer as a Christian, if you suffer as a believer, do not be ashamed of it. Don't you be ashamed when someone calls you a Jesus freak. Don't you be ashamed when someone calls you a name, a holy roller, whatever they're calling people today. I don't even know what all they call you. Don't you be ashamed of it. Instead, put a big old smile on your face and say, I love Jesus Christ, my Savior. And you preach the gospel through your suffering. You proclaim the gospel through your suffering. That's what you get to do when you suffer. When you have to fall down on your knees and ask God for strength and boldness to come into your life, the confidence that only He can give. Don't you be ashamed of it, but praise God. Praise God that we suffer, because listen to me, church, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and we're going to have to get some strength. We're going to have to get some rhino skin. We're going to have to get all the toughness we can get, and we can't get it ourselves. We only can get it through Christ Himself. Only Christ can give you the strength to suffer. Only Christ can give it to you, because it is Christ who endured that kind of suffering. It is only Christ who endured the cross. And He tells us to bear the cross, to carry the cross ourselves. But He says He'll carry it with us. He'll help you with it. He'll be there with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. We know all those scriptures, but it's different. It's different to know than to experience. And listen to me, church, if you're a believer, if you allow God to work in your life, you will experience it. If you haven't experienced the suffering for the name of Jesus Christ yet, you will experience it if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. It will come. And I pray that we're ready for it. I pray that we're ready to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. It is a hard thing. This is one of the most difficult things to understand. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? So that we might glorify God. Come on, church. So that you might glorify God. Verse 17. For it is time for the judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is a hard part of Scripture. What's He saying here? What is happening right here? If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Do we understand that God's discipline to us refines us? When God disciplines us, and whether that is just to build our strength or whatever it is, and even if it's in sin, listen to me, when we allow the discipline to work in our life, it refines us. It purifies us. It gets us back on the right track. And this should be a verse that you take in, because this is important. If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? This isn't a gospel to remain in the church. This isn't a gospel to remain in your own heart. This is a gospel to be spread. Because if it is hard for it to be saved, listen to me, the church needs to proclaim the gospel for the ungodly and the sinner, because you too were ungodly and you too were a sinner. I was a sinner, and it took somebody to proclaim the gospel to me. So that I might be saved. A hard, difficult thing, an impossible thing, but Jesus Christ made it possible on the cross. He did it for you and I so that we might be able to glorify God, so that the ungodly and the sinner might be saved. Praise God. Praise God that the ungodly and the sinner can be saved. And don't take it too hard when someone insults you for the name of Jesus. Don't you take it too hard. Don't you let it hurt you or make you depressed. Don't let that happen. Because that person who's insulting you, listen to me, needs the gospel, needs to be prayed for, needs you in their life. Whether they want it or not, they need you. The person who's willing to endure the suffering, the believer who's willing to endure it. See, listen to me, we've got to be 100% committed to our Lord. What's it say here? So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and to continue to do good. See, here also in this letter, Peter talks about when we respond to suffering with good. It's like putting a hot coal on somebody's head. It doesn't make sense to the world for the Christian to respond with good rather than evil. When somebody insults you, if I go up to Jeremy and I kick him in the leg, it wouldn't make sense for Jeremy to pray for me. It wouldn't make sense. It would only make sense for Jeremy to kick me back. But to continue to do good. Continue to do good. And listen to me, church. You can't do that without Jesus Christ. We can't do good without Jesus Christ. We can't continue to do anything without Jesus Christ. And we sure can't be committed 100% without Jesus Christ. We can't wholeheartedly commit everything to Him. Your whole body, it ought to glorify God. Then you're able to endure suffering. See, I'm going to give you four different ways. Four different ways to endure suffering, because we need it, church. We need to be able to endure it. We have to remember why we suffer. Why do we suffer? I've said it before, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper. 2 Timothy 2:8 through 10. We're going to jump around a couple different places. 2 Timothy 2:8 through 10. Listen closely. This is Paul talking. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why do we suffer, church? To proclaim the gospel. Why do we suffer, church? To proclaim the gospel so that the ungodly and the sinner might be saved. Why do we suffer so that those that are in Christ Jesus will receive the eternal glory? The eternal glory. And he says, listen to me, church, but God's word is not chained. Even though he's chained like a criminal, he says, God's word is not chained. Wow. God's word is not chained. Even as Paul suffered, he understood that there was no greater freedom than Jesus Christ. Even when Paul was in shackles and chains, he knew that the freedom wasn't in the unlocking of the chains. It was the unlocking of his own heart through Jesus Christ. The only one that could unlock the chains of his heart was Jesus Christ. He understood that, and I pray that we understand the same thing as why do we suffer for the sake of the gospel, and so that we can glorify God, so that God himself can be glorified in it. Listen, the next thing, we've got to have the attitude of perseverance. We've got to say, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to give in, I'm going to keep going, I'm going to press on, I'm not going to fail, I'm going to continue to run the race with endurance. To run your race with endurance, that takes the attitude of perseverance. You have to understand why we suffer, and you have to understand that we are not to give up. Listen to this. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If you don't give up, God here, he says, if you don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, there's going to be a time where you get to reap the harvest. And it might not be until heaven, but listen to me, there is no better place to be than in heaven. This earth has lots and lots of suffering on it. There is no greater place. We put too much stake in this world. We put too much in this world. There is no greater life that we have after this life. The life we have in Jesus Christ. So listen to me, church. Do not give up. Don't you give up. Because I've said it many, many times, and I'm going to keep saying it. You're going to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you're able to say, I won't give up because of the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give up. And the only way that you can't give up is the third thing. You got to rely on God. You aren't going to be able to rely on yourself. You're not going to be able to give you enough strength to be able to endure the suffering. It is only God who can give the comfort and strength to press on. It is only God who can give you the strength to keep going. To keep going. We can't do it ourselves. We got to let the Holy Spirit work. Listen, Paul here had a question. He said to the people of Corinth the people of Corinth, that he had a thorn in his flesh, but God here says, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen to me, church. God's grace is sufficient. God has enough grace for you to endure the suffering, to keep going and going and going. God's got enough grace, and we got to be able to rely on our hope. Listen to me, church. We have the greatest hope. We have the best hope that anyone could ever ask for, the hope in Jesus Christ. And when we understand this hope, when we understand that God's grace is sufficient for us, we are able to press on. We're able to take the fiery arrows of the devil. We're able to take the insults, the laughs, the mocks, all those things that many of us here today have also experienced. But even the people of Nigeria, even the Christians who died for their faith, they understood that their strength didn't come from themselves. It came from Christ. It came from Jesus Christ alone. See, the Holy Spirit can do an amazing work, an impossible work in your life. It can give you the strength. He can give you the strength to keep going. If you don't know how to make it, if you don't think you're going to make it, listen to me. If you trust in the Holy Spirit, He is able to do it. He is able to give you the comfort. He's able to be the encourager in your life. He's able to give you the counsel. If you feel depressed, if you feel depressed for where you are in your life, He's the one that picks you up, church. Come on. There is no reason not to rejoice in our suffering because we have everlasting life. Leaning on the everlasting arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater arms to take hold of. There is no greater person to cling to than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, I don't know about you, but brings a smile to my face. Even in the midst of suffering, I can still be joyful. Not that I'm happy about what's going on. I'm not happy when I go through hard times. It doesn't feel good to go through hard times, but I can rejoice. Because rejoicing, being joyful, is completely separate from happiness. It comes from something much, much greater than my feelings. It comes from something much, much greater than myself. It comes from the power of Jesus Christ. That is where my joy comes from. And church, I pray that is where your joy comes from too. We need more joy. We need to rely on God more. See, here it says again, to commit ourselves and continue to do what is good. We have to be able to rely on God for that. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. I'll keep saying it. We can't do it ourselves. Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. No alcohol, no drug, no man, no woman can help you make it through it. Not like Jesus can. Not like Jesus can, because those things are temporary. But oh, our Jesus Christ is eternal. our Jesus Christ is eternal, and we are not to focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. There's many, many things that are unseen. Many, many things that are unseen, and that is what we're called to focus on. The last thing here, the greatest thing to remember, the greatest thing to remember, church, is the life and victory of Jesus Christ. When we understand that Jesus Christ suffered, when he sacrificed his own life for us, then we're able just a little bit to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. We didn't suffer like Jesus. We aren't going to suffer like Jesus. He took the weight of our sin. He took the weight of the whole world's sin upon him when he suffered. When he sacrificed his life, he defeated Satan. Satan is no more. He's defeated. Whether he's still on the earth, that is true. But he has been defeated. He's been defeated, church. And he has defeated death. We have victory over the grave. We have victory in this life. We have victory because Jesus Christ has conquered death. Therefore, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors for what Jesus Christ has done upon the cross. And he not only saved us, but he sits at the right hand of God and he intercedes for you and I. What a Savior. What a wonderful Savior to intercede for you and I. When we mess up, when we do something wrong, he sits there and he says, if you confess your sins before me, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a Savior. See, he intercedes for us. When we pray, we can speak to the Father directly. We don't need something else. We have Jesus Christ. We don't need something to enter. We don't need a Pat. You don't need me. You don't need anybody else. All you need is Jesus Christ to talk to the Father. That is all you need to talk to the Father is Jesus Christ. You don't need anybody else. Listen to me, church. This is important. You don't need anybody else. You can come right now to the Father because of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, nobody on this earth has suffered like our Savior. Nobody. And it's a hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing. It is a hard, hard thing to understand that there are Christians who die every single day for their faith. See, we don't experience that here in America. And praise God. Praise God we have the freedom to come here today. But there's many, many Christians that don't have that freedom. And they are not forgotten. Jesus Christ knows each and every one of those Nigerians by name. He knows every hair on their head. And he knows that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because who goes and dies for something they don't believe in? Who goes and dies for something they don't believe in? See, this is something that Peter here knows. This is something that Paul here knows. And this is something that each and every one of these disciples, except one, somehow got off. One of them didn't have to go and suffer and die all the way, who died of an old age. But these disciples died for their faith. They died all the way up and they understood who Jesus Christ was. They remembered his life on earth. They remembered the things that he said, like the things I read in Matthew, that blessed is the one who is persecuted. Blessed is the one who is persecuted, and things that they're going to come for you. If they persecuted me, if they persecuted Jesus Christ, why wouldn't they persecute you? Why wouldn't they do the same thing to you? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We sing this in one of our songs. And I think it's a good song. It's called Trading My Sorrows. Trading My Sorrows. I could put another word. Trading My Sufferings. Trading My Pains. Trading My Sickness. That's all the things that are mentioned in that song. We're going to start in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that this all-suppressing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed. on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Listen to this, church. We are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because Jesus Christ lives in us. Jesus Christ has come into your heart, and there is nothing that can take you down. There is nothing that can destroy you if you have Jesus Christ. You can be perplexed. You can feel like you're being crushed and pressed on every side, but you're none of those things. Instead, you're a child of God. A child of God that nothing, no one, no devil can ever touch. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing, church. And the world needs to hear it. That we might be pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And listen to me, church. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that in the life of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Listen, you might be the only Bible somebody gets to see. You've heard that many, many times, but it's so, so true. You might be the only Jesus somebody sees because you carry around the death of Jesus inside of you. So that you can be given over to death every single day. Given over to sufferings and pains every single day because of Jesus Christ. You can do it, church. See, suffering is a hard, hard part of the Christian life. But it is the greatest thing to get to experience is the suffering of Jesus Christ. It is the greatest part because why? You are going to mature as a Christian. When you start to endure sufferings, when you start to endure the insults of the world, the insults of Satan, listen to me, you become mature. Mature. And we ought to be mature Christians. We need, this suffering is not the milk. This suffering is not the milk of the Christian life. It's the meat. It's the meat of the Christian life, and I pray that you don't maybe want suffering to happen, but you're ready for it. You're ready for it. You are ready to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. I hope that you understand that it draws you closer to God. When we suffer beyond suffer and suffer, and sometimes, listen to me, sometimes it feels like all you do is suffer. There are many people, especially for some reason this year, with everything going on, feel like all they're doing is suffering. All they're doing is suffering, and I pray, I hope that they're glorifying God. I hope that you, in your suffering, can glorify God. Because if you don't glorify God, if you're not glorifying God in your suffering, what are you doing? You're suffering. You're doing nothing but suffering. But when you glorify God, you are overjoyed. You rejoice. Joy overflows you. And it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that you can be joyful in your suffering. But listen to me, church. It can happen. But it doesn't happen through your own will. It happens through the will of the Father. You can't do it. You can't make it happen. You can't make joy happen in your life. It only comes through Jesus Christ himself. We need more Christians rejoicing. There's a lot of frowns in a lot of churches today. There's a lot of frowns in a lot of churches today. There doesn't need to be sadness. There doesn't need to be weight because Jesus Christ says he'll take it away. He says if you cast all your cares on him, if you cast all your cares on him, do it, church. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for us. I want to remind you, of this, that Jesus Christ loves each and every one of you. Listen to me again. He loves the ungodly and He loves the sinner. And He hopes that those who proclaim Jesus Christ, those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, would take it out into the world, would go to all nations, would baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that Jesus has taught us. That is what the world needs today. If there's anything the world needs, it's Jesus Christ. It isn't some sort of vaccine. It isn't some sort of healing power, whatever it is. They need the name of Jesus Christ. That is what the world needs. It has always needed it. It has always needed the name of Jesus Christ. But listen to me, there's going to be people in your life. You're going to have family. You're going to have friends who mock you and ridicule you for going to church, for proclaiming Jesus Christ. You don't stop coming. Don't you stop coming. Don't you stop worshiping the Father. Don't stop. Don't you give up on Jesus, because He has not given up on us. He has always been faithful. Always. So I want to ask you this question one more time. Listen closely. What do you do when you suffer? What do you do when suffering comes upon you? What do you do? Do you run? It's okay to admit that. That's the first step. It's okay to admit that I'm not good with suffering. I'm not good with it. When it comes, I don't want anything to do with it. You say, God, take it back. I don't want it. Or are you a person that's able to press on? Can you do it? There's some people, some Christians can do that. But where are you at? That's the question. That's always been the question. Every time you come in here, every time you come and worship God, your first question to God ought to be, where am I at in my life, God? This isn't a question to ask yourself. It's not a question to ask me or anybody else. It's only a question for you to ask God. It's only God can evaluate your life. Only God can determine where you're at. We can lie to ourselves. We can say, oh, I'm good. I'm pretty good at it. But listen, Only God gives you the truth. Only God's not going to deceive you. Listen, what do you do when suffering comes? Many, many people this year, many, many people have lost loved ones, have been killed, have died. All these things happen in our everyday world. Why? Why does all this suffering happen? It's sometimes a very difficult question to answer. Why is there so much suffering on this world? But I'll say it pretty simple. It's one of those things that we could talk about for days and days and days. Why is there so much suffering? Listen, we live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful, ungodly world where there's sin, heartache, suffering. But listen to me. We have the best hope. We have the eternal hope. We have the hope of assurance. If you believe, if you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Him, you have that opportunity today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, because this world will die. This world will be no more, because it is fallen and is done. But only those who believe in Jesus Christ go to heaven. It's a hard thing to hear, but this should produce in you the urgency to either have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, urgently seek somebody who doesn't. To say what Paul here said in Timothy, to proclaim the gospel. Even though he's a chained like a criminal, God's word's not chained. Let's stand.